Praise God. Good to be here this morning. And let's go to the book of Revelation this morning. And don't anybody worry. Praise God. We're not going to preach about the lake of fire here this morning. Revelation. It's the last book in your Bible. Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to read the first five verses here this morning. And John the Revelator writes here, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now notice here, it's the new heaven. Everybody said new heaven. And a new earth. Everybody said a new earth. And then it says a new Jerusalem. Everybody said new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Everybody said, all things new. So we have a new heaven, we have a new earth, we have a new Jerusalem. And then let's just go ahead and make everything brand new. Praise God. All things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true. Everybody said true. And faithful. Everybody said faithful. Praise God. Powerful scripture here this morning. And I just want to talk about how God makes everything brand new. Lord, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for the touch of your spirit. We ask you to anoint the word. Speak to every heart that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. If you'll help me this morning, I'll let you be seated. All right. Praise God. Got some helpers here this morning. It's very exciting when we look at the scripture here this morning that we read, and how that old things are passed away when he does the second creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And the only thing that I think is a little bit disappointing is that there will be no more sea. I sure enjoy going to the ocean and looking at the water and getting on the sailboat and going around and all of that. But I'm sure that the new earth, even though there's not going to be a sea, there's going to be a lot of beautiful things that we're going to be able to enjoy here on this earth. And there is something here about this making things new. Jesus spoke of it in the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 36. And I want to touch on a few scriptures here this morning to kind of lead up to what we want to bring across. Luke chapter 5 and verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment, there's the word new again, a new garment upon an old, or upon an old garment. If otherwise, then both the new maketh it a tear or a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And so the Lord gives us a parable here this morning. That's something that at least I can relate to. I remember when I was just a boy in the summertime, and even after school, we would be outside playing. We didn't have video games back then. They didn't even come up with personal computers back then. And you might say, well, how in the world could anybody live without of those things? And I just have to say, I don't know, it was the grace of God that we made it through. And we would play the very first things that would wear out in our clothes would be the toes of our shoes, because we would drag them on the ground to stop our bicycle. Praise the Lord. I know I'm missing a lot of folks here this morning, but I just want to kind of get you up to speed a little bit. The other part of our clothes that would wear out the first would be our knees. And we didn't have a lot of money back in those days. And Mom, we were growing so fast that Mom couldn't just go out, buy us a new pair of jeans because we wore out the knees. She would get a patch. She would find some other material that was the same age as the pants that we had worn out in the knees, and she would sew a patch on the outside, a patch on the inside, so it was double thickness. Some of you know what I'm talking about here this morning. And in fact, it was kind of a fad in that day. If we had the biggest patch on our knees, we were the coolest on the block. Things have changed quite a bit, haven't they? And Mom knew that, blue jeans shrink when you, well, at least they used to. They didn't pre-shrink them back in those days. And they were the blue jeans, and oh, they were so crisp and so stiff when you put them on. But Mom always would wash them first in hot water. And we didn't have a dryer, so she'd just hang them out on the clothesline in the backyard. And she would always buy them a couple of inches too long, or at least an inch too long, usually a couple of inches too long, and realizing that they were going to shrink. And if it didn't shrink enough, she would just roll them up into a cuff. And that was another cool thing, was to have a cuff on the bottom of your pant legs. That was way before bell bottoms. Does anybody know what a bell bottom is? Few of you do. Amen. And that was even before then. So I'm kind of dating myself here this morning. And Jesus talked about this. She didn't get a new piece of cloth and sew it on the knees of my pants, because she realized that when she washed it, that new piece would shrink, and I wouldn't be the coolest kid on the block anymore, because my leg would all be shriveled up and everything because of that new piece that was put on there. Jesus spoke of this here. He said, No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old garment. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And so there are some things here. One of the things that I want to bring out this morning is that the old does not agree with the new. There's something about serving God and living for God that is so very, very exciting. And that is that he makes all things new, praise God. And he works on our life. And what Jesus is talking about here is not how to go into business sewing cloth or making clothing or any of those kinds of things. But what he's talking about here, he is talking about the old life before we gave our lives to God, and then the life that we live after we have given ourselves to God, that it is new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this: therefore, if any man, everybody said any man, you can say that means me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. All things are become new. And it's so very, very easy in life to get caught into a rut And probably the worst thing in life, and I really should say that it is the worst thing in life, to get involved in is sin. I remember as a young boy, just 19 years old, and I don't say that this morning to be critical of anyone that's 19, praise the Lord. I really didn't know a whole lot about a whole lot. And I know all the rest of you had your act together and you had it all figured out at age 19, but I did not. And I'd lost both of my parents, and so I was basically on my own and had no order and no direction for my life. And there's something about that. When you don't have order and when you don't have direction in your life, it can take you through a lot of different doors. It can take you to places that you don't want to go, and as somebody said, it'll keep you there a lot longer than you want to stay. Amen. And it's indicative of our society today. It is really the theme of our society today is to get whatever you want, whenever you want it, and as much as you want, and it's going to make you happy. But the truth of the matter is this morning that it will not make you happy. Praise God. Nobody's going to be happy wearing old, battered, and torn up, and dirty clothes. It's really nice to put on some new clothes. Y'all are looking really nice this morning. Got your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. Praise God. Why? Because we like it when things are new. We'd like to have a new car. Like to have that new car smell. I bought a new car one time, and they had it in the showroom after we purchased it and signed a good portion of our life away. We walked into this room, and it was all white, and it was brightly lit, and there was our brand new car sitting right there. There was no flaws. We walked around it, checked it out, and all of that, and the salesman said, enjoy looking at your perfect car because this is the last time it will ever be perfect. And if I remember right, on the way home, somebody flipped a little stone in front of us, and there it was on that brand new car. Amen. Well, that's the way things operate in our world today. And without getting too technical, the things of this world don't tend to accelerate, they tend to decelerate. Amen. The things of this world, as one scientist said, they do not tend to organize, but they tend to disorganize. And they had to go through a lot of scientific study to find that out. All they had to do was go to their son or their daughter's bedroom. Amen. And you'd find out that things tend to disorganize rather than to organize. They're all over there. We can talk about them here this morning. Praise God. But the truth of the matter is that things in life do not tend to organize to the better, but they tend to go the other way. Amen. I see cars that are being hauled on the back of flatbed trucks, smashed down to about that thick. Has anybody ever seen that? Wrapped up with a tarp and headed somewhere where they're going to cut it up and melt it down. And I think about it when I look at that going down the road, and I think those were brand new cars on the showroom floor one day. And here is the end result of everything that is in this world. Corruption, which is not, I'm not talking about necessarily moral corruption, but a brand new car will rust one day. Amen. Because there is a corruption in the physical world. And if we're not careful, we can get involved in something that will spiritually corrupt us. And that's what we call, what Scripture calls, sin. Amen. But God wants to make all things brand new. Praise God. I'm not stuck with that old jalopy. There's a brand new one on the showroom floor somewhere. I'm not stuck with this old life. There's a brand new life awaiting me. Amen. If I'll give my life to God and serve Him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when we can see this. We talk about peace in this world, and we talk about, we want peace. But the more we talk about peace on a political scale, it seems like the worse it gets. And the reason is because evil exists in our world. There are those that would like to tell us that evil doesn't exist. It's just how we were brought up and this, that, and the other. But the truth of the matter is, as long as evil and good exist together, there will never be peace. There's only going to be one time that, or the only time that peace will come to this earth is what we read this morning, that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and all things are going to be made brand new by our God. Isn't that exciting this morning? That's exciting to me, that all of the hell that I will ever see is this life here. Amen. And there is a beautiful heaven that is coming for those that will serve God. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6, another scripture I'd like to read this morning. And it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us." Now this is one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. "He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so now all of a sudden we come up against a concept here, or a truth, if we want to say it that way, that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. Praise the Lord. Some of you understand that. And I don't want to get personal here this morning, but Jay Sean is going to college to become something where he will have to judge between right and wrong. Amen. And right and wrong is not something that we come up in our head. It is not something that we make up, but it is based upon law. Amen. It's based upon the writing of the law. And we understand this morning that in man's law, the laws that man has created, there can be flaws. They're always changing the laws, updating and upgrading the laws, and so on and so forth. But there is another law that is higher than the law of man. Amen. It is higher than the civil laws of man, and that is the law of God. That is the word of God. Praise the Lord. We ought to thank God every day that we live, that we live in a country of laws. Aren't you glad that someone isn't driving the opposite direction on the road that you traveled this morning? Amen. The reason there was order this morning and you got here safely and there was no worry or stress in your life is because of the law that says you must drive on the right side of the road. Amen. If it were not for law in our society, there would be anarchy. Without law in our society, there would be no way for us to measure good and evil, right and wrong. But every society that is based upon order, and that order coming from law, is a society that prospers. Amen. Did you know that we are living in the most prosperous nation in the world? Thank God for America. Oh, we've got our problems. Yes, we do. But thank God for America. And the reason that America is great is because it does not put the power in the hand of the government, but it puts the power in the hand of the people. Praise God. You were created to be free. Amen. You and I were created to be free agents, to be blessed or not to be blessed based upon decisions that we make in our lives. Amen. And so truth here. Truth. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And what the apostle was literally writing was that the spirit of truth is found in the book of truth. Amen. Which we call the Bible. Thank God for the word of God this morning. But the reality of it is, we see other countries in our world that are descending into trouble and problems. One of the richest countries that of our world was Venezuela. And because of the laws that were changed and the leadership of that country, it is now probably the poorest of countries. And people are starving to death, and they're trying their very best to just survive. And yet at one point in time, it was a very prosperous and a very rich nation. Amen. The same principle applies for your life and for my life. Can somebody give me a witness here this morning? Praise God. Your life and my life can be an example and is an example. Without law in our lives, without order in our lives, we call it law and order. Thank God for order in our lives. Nobody likes thinking about, being in a place where there is no order. I don't know about you, but it makes me real nervous when I get into some areas where there is no order. Amen. You don't feel safe. You don't feel comfortable because there is no order. But thank God for order in our society. But what about our personal life? Do we have order in our personal life? What is the guiding star of your life? What is the very thing that motivates you in the morning when you get up? What is the very thing that you think about in your life that you're striving for, that you're reaching for? Amen. It's a very important question. It needs a very important answer. And we find order, amen, not necessarily in our school system. We find mathematical and English and all of those things. But there is an order that is higher than that, and that is the order of the Word of God. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're battling with troubles in your life, I want you to know that God will make it all brand new if you'll just come to Him and let Him give you some order in your life. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody found this to be true? I found it to be true. Amen. And we understand this morning that this is true, that this is the Word of God. And yet we're not left alone. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I think what it's appropriate for us every now and then to say, God is for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't care who you are this morning, where you're coming from. God is for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. God wants to touch you. Amen. Anybody believe that this morning? Amen. I believe that this morning. God is a good God, and He wants to bring order into our lives. Amen. And then He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? How do we know that God is for us? What was the example that the Lord gave us to prove that He is for us? He goes on and he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. He's going to freely give us all things when we come to him. When we establish order in our lives, that God's order is the highest order, and I will live according to that order. Amen. He said, if God is for us, and that's not a question mark there, but that is a statement of fact. In other words, since God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, and there's a lot of things that he described a little bit further down, and he talked about condemnation. those that criticize and condemn. And then he says, tribulation, which is trouble. Are you in trouble this morning? Do you have trouble in your life? Distress, are you stressed out this morning? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Oh, they dealt with a lot of things back in the days of Scripture. But I'm here to say this morning that we deal with a lot of things in our modern age as well. Praise God. There is so much going on in our generation today. It's really quite unsettling. And he says, those are things that bring people down. Those are things that cause lives to go down. Amen. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Your trouble is not bigger than your God this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Your tribulation or your troubles are not bigger than God. Your stress this morning is not greater than your God. Well, praise God. Famine, nakedness, peril, all kinds of things that he talked about here. He said it is not as big as our God. How do we get out of these things? How do we allow God to do that? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light this morning. And what is light? What does he mean by the light? What he's really talking about is revelation. Light gives us revelation. Amen. Revelation reveals things. Light reveals things. And what is the thing that the Lord wants to reveal to all of us more than anything? I've got a feeling this morning, and through my experiences and the experiences of others that I've seen, the most important thing that we can get a revelation of is God's will for our life. What is God's will for your life? What is God's plan for your life? What is God's purpose for your life? Why are you here? Amen. Why were you born into this world? What is the purpose this morning that you have come to this house this morning to worship the Lord, or whatever reason you're here for this morning? But it says if we walk in the light, that word if there is a big one, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then he is going to take care of the disorder, or what Scripture calls sin. Amen. The disorder that is in our life. For you see, some things are very important. Some things are not quite as important. But when we talk about sin and we talk about what is right and what is wrong, in our generation, there is an attempt to say there is no right and there is no wrong, and that whatever you feel and whatever you think is the right way to go. Try that in mathematics and see if it works. Try that in chemistry and see if that works. Try that in your personal relationships and just decide that, you feel like telling a lie to your friend, and then when your friend finds out, he's supposed to just understand. No, that's not the way it works. It's a very important thing that we tell the truth. And when we tell the truth, that means that we are living our lives in order. Amen. That it is right to tell the truth. Praise God. Isaiah 66 and verse 22 from the Old Testament, he says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. I saw that scripture and I thought, wow, I hadn't seen that scripture before. And as the new heavens and new earth, he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth that's going to abide forever, But did you know that your name is going to remain forever if you serve God and you live for God? Amen. And this is the hope that we have. This is the order that we have for our lives. And Brother Deontay said it here this morning that he wants to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's a day when all of this life is going to be done for each and every one of us. We will have run our race. We will have done everything that we can do, and we will pass from this life. Some quicker than others, some longer than others. Amen. And we're trying to find happiness, and we're trying to find longevity in our generation today. Amen. But it comes from God. There is an appointed day. There is an appointed time. One lady who was over 100 years old, I think she was 102, they asked her, they said, what do you attribute your long life to? And she said, I have a bologna sandwich and ice cream every day, and I think that's why I'm 102 years old. Praise God. I wish that's the way it was, but that's not the way it is. Amen. It is given to us by God. The days and the number of our days are given to us by God. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise God. If you live in that sense of order in your life, then when you wake up in the morning, you will say to yourself, "Lord, what do you want for me today? What is your plan for me today? What is your purpose for my life today?" Amen. No ship is going to get to the harbor when it just goes by the currents of the ocean. No ship is going to get to its destination unless there is a purpose and there is a guiding star, amen, that will lead you all the way there. And sometimes it means going through rough waters. Sometimes it means with winds that are contrary. Praise God. But what are we looking for? Abraham got to where he wanted to go, and it said he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He had a star that he was looking towards. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. And I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. But let's look at this. He said, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for..." Everybody said, "Look for..." What are you looking for this morning? That's the big question. And I think that it's going to hit home with a lot of us here this morning. Amen. What are we looking for? What is the thing that we look for in life? What is it? Are you just looking for happiness? Are you just looking for the right person to marry? Are you looking for more money? Are you looking for this, that, or the other? It's important what we look for, because where we look is where we go. Where our eyes are cast is the direction that we go in our lives. And Peter said, "We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to know there's a better way? It's wonderful to know that there is a better way. I want to finish with a little story this morning, and I thought about this, and this is a personal story of someone that I know, and her name was Nancy. Her name is Nancy. Nancy is lives on the East Coast, where I pastored in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and we had an outreach program at our church, and it was a little bit unorthodox. We had a machine that would dial numbers. I don't think you can do that legally now. And it would dial a number, and when the person answered, it would invite them to a Bible study, to a personal home Bible study. And we were trying to get the Word of God out to our community. And the story goes that Nancy was, she was 18 years old. She was hooked on cocaine. She was an alcoholic, and she had children by different fathers. And I don't say any of this here this morning to criticize anybody that might be in that situation. I just want to tell you what God can do in your life. Amen. And she was sitting in her home with her Bible in her lap, didn't understand what it meant, didn't understand, didn't have a concept of how it all fits together and the message of the Bible and the stories of the Scripture, how it all goes together. And she breathed a prayer and she said, "Lord, if this is your word and you know who I am and where I'm at, would you have somebody come and show me what this book means?" And as soon as she prayed that prayer, the phone rang, and it was our phone ministry, and it invited her to a Bible study. I want to tell you this morning, God is a real God. And we got involved in a Bible study with Nancy, and Nancy came to the church, and God gloriously filled her with the Holy Ghost. She began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. God blessed her life so greatly and turned her life around, and she married in the church, and her life today is so different than it was back then. And I'll tell you why. Because God makes all things brand new. He makes all things brand new. I think about the story in the Scriptures of Naaman the Syrian. And Naaman the Syrian was not a Jew. He was not of the house of Israel. But he was out there in the darkness, so to speak. He was actually somebody that was against God and against the church. He was against the ways of God, against the Scripture. But he was a ruler. He was the king. He was actually what you would call the head guy over all the military of Syria at that time. But the Bible says, even though he was an accomplished man, the Bible says he was a leper. And we don't understand what that is today in our generation. But leprosy was an incurable disease at that point in time. And leprosy would affect the nervous system of a person's body, excuse me, so that the person could not feel pain. And leprosy in the Scripture is a type and a shadow or a picture of sin. And it would take away the ability to feel pain. It would begin to fester in the body. There would be no pain. And so because there was no pain, the infection would get bad. A person would be covered in sores all over their body. Praise God. Just like sin. And he was a leper. And somebody said, "Oh, if you just go over here to Israel, there's a prophet that will help you out with this." Amen. He went. The prophet said, "Go and dip in Jordan 7 times. And when he dipped in Jordan 7 times, his leprosy was gone. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." Let's stand together this morning. Can we stand together right now? It doesn't matter how accomplished you are in life. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are in your life. Jesus met a woman in the book of John who had had 5 husbands, and she was living with the man that she was living with. But Jesus went out of his way to reach out to her, to reach out to Naaman, to reach out to all of the stories. We can go on and on this morning of all the stories in the Scripture that talk about people just like you and I, so far away, so far out into the darkness, that in your private time, when nobody's around, when your friends aren't there, you say to yourself, "Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? What's the reason for me to be here?" I want you to know this morning, God has heard your prayers this morning. He knows the desires deep within your heart this morning, and He wants to meet you, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to help you this morning. Come on, church, let's pray right now, and let's ask for the Lord to speak to hearts this morning. Can we do that? Can you pray with us here this morning? In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, lift your voice with me and let's talk to God together. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the touch of your word this morning. God, we need you more than anything. We need your presence. We need your victory. And Lord, if there's someone in this house this morning that's gotten backed into a corner because of sin, someone this morning that is in distress and needs help, Lord, I pray right now you'll let them feel your presence to know that you're near. Oh God, we lean on you right now. Fill this room with your presence. Touch us this morning with your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would like the Lord to touch you this morning, nobody's looking around, just lift your hand this morning and say, I'd like for God to touch me. I need God to touch me. And if you're near to someone that you know this morning, just turn to them and say, would you pray with me this morning? I have a need in my life. Praise God. Why don't you do that right now? Because this is the house of prayer. This is the place where we can touch God. This is the place where healing takes place, where victory, where lives are changed. That's it. Come on, let's pray together. There's some folks praying right now. Come on, let's ask God to move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.